Alrighty. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the first episode of the Playbook Diaries podcast for season 3. I am your host, Jordan, and today we have a very special guest. We have my girl, Trinity, aka Trends, if you follow her on TikTok or Instagram. Hey, Trinity, how are you doing today, girl?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Why don't you give the audience a quick little summary about yourself? Tell us something about yourself.
My name is Trinity. I talk about football and hockey mainly on my channel, my YouTube, my TikTok, my Instagram. I went to Northern Arizona University, took a little break, but we are going back to school very shortly. And I was studying sports journalism, and I think that's what I'm going to do again.
All right, period. So we got an educated queen over here. Like I always like to point out, it doesn't matter how you get it done, if you got to take breaks, etc., as long as you get the job done, nobody's counting but you.
Exactly.
So we're back in it. So we're gonna kick it off. We have a very busy, jam-packed episode with us. We have a very jam-packed episode. I don't know how to say that, y'all forgive me, but the episode is going to be filled with a bunch of stuff. We have a ton to go over, starting off with the NFL draft recap. Mm-hmm. Trinity, what do we think about the draft?
I don't know. I mean, like I said to you before, once I get to my team, okay, that's all I care about. But I think, honestly, my craziest take from this, my craziest like OMG moment, was the Browns trading the second pick for the Jaguars. The Jaguars getting the second pick. And then the Jaguars picking up Travis Hunter, because I believe either way, Travis Hunter was going to be top three and he could have gone to the Browns. And I hate to say it, but I think that saved his career going to Jacksonville instead of Cleveland.
Yes.
Just saying.
I agree with
and
that take
crazy
on
too,
it saved his career.
Then, right, because then the Browns then got the first round pick for next draft season, which I was like, okay, that's crazy. So I think it was a good trade, bit of a crazy one, but I think ultimately it was good.
Yeah, I bet Travis Hunter was so excited, like, hell yeah, I gotta go to the sorry
ass
Browns.
Oh, he was cheesing. He was cheesing. He was jolly and full of glee. That was the most exciting thing that's ever happened to him.
That was a great take. So let's get into the looks of the draft. I don't know who the stylists are. I'm not gonna call anybody out. It was very up and down. So I'm working on not being a negative person, so I'm gonna highlight the positives. So my take on best dress, I have the 47th pick, which went to the Arizona Cardinals, who is a Michigan Wolverine cornerback there, Mr. Will Johnson. That's who I have as best dress. Okay. He had the all-white suit, very demure, very classy. He wasn't trying to do too much. He kept it cute and was like, you know, this is not New York Fashion Week. I liked his outfit. I felt like a lot of the players did too much or too little. So I thought his was a nice little medium. I think he looked great.
I think it was more tame than previous years. I think the only one that really just was like, oh, okay, was Abdul Carter's from Penn State. I'm like, wait, what are we wearing? What's going on here?
So I know Abdul had his, like, what I assumed, let me not say I know, what I assumed to be his traditional garb. Muslim, and he sends, like, very strong in his faith. I know he's spoken out about it a lot. So I thought his outfit was unique. I was more so paying attention to Abdul and his father, Christopher's chains. The chains were crazy.
I don't pretend to understand the fascination with the designs. I don't think it needs to be crazy. I'm looking at his dad's chain right now, and I don't even know what it is.
it's an Adidas. It's an Adidas. The Adidas logo.
Okay. Okay. Are they like wearing Adidas?
I don't
or they
think
just like they
outfits.
Just think it's really cool and awesome. They're just.
I think that they're signed to Adidas, because when I did some research, I saw that. His father was like, you know, Adidas treated us way better than Nike did, so I'm going to hold Adidas down. And I was like, okay. And he did say that Adidas made the chain.
Oh, okay. Okay, then
Adidas made the chain
for
them.
It's a little cool.
I think it's a slight flex, but those chains were big. But Since we're going into that, let's go ahead and rate some of the chains that
Okay,
we
okay.
saw at the draft. First up, we got Tyler Booker. He signed to the Cowboys. He went number 12 to the Cowboys. Shout out to the boys. And came from Bama. The Bama boys showed out with the chains. And I'm looking at it now. I don't know what the chain says.
I believe it says T book because I even had
Okay.
that same reaction. I was like, wait, what does that say? And then his name popped up when he walked out, and I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Okay,
I
see,
think it
I
looks
thought
really
it
cool with
said,
the.
no, it does look good. I thought it said took. Like, if your man looks, he's took. And I was like, took. Like, oh, I thought you said he was taken.
Yeah, I think there needed to be more like darker outlines here. I think
Or a
then
different
we would
font.
understand. Yes. I do think it looks cool with like the whole like lightning bolt thing. But
Yeah.
yeah, I had no idea. I had zero idea.
So I would rate that chain, like, I feel like it would have been better gold, or like, because
Ooh,
I'm
yeah.
very picky about mixing golds and and silvers, and I feel
Yeah.
like it clashes with his pendant on his shoulder.
Okay. Okay.
And
Okay.
so I
Yeah.
was like, then he has his turtles, because you know he has his he's real big on turtles, and he has
Yes.
his pet turtles.
Yes.
And I was like, these are all gold, it looks like. So I thought it clashed with that. And his suit was brown. I feel like brown always looks better with gold versus
Yes.
silver. So I'm
Yes.
gonna give his chain and the entire coordination of his outfit, maybe I'm gonna say a 7.
Okay. I definitely agree with a lot with what you're saying. I think if he was going to stay with the silver, it should have been like a darker silver. You
Darker
know what I
still, okay.
mean? Because
Yeah.
the initials on his lapel are darker, and even the turtles are darker, but right, there's gold somewhere in there. So I think if it
There
was
is.
darker, I think if it was darker, it would have looked a lot better. But this is actually in one of my list of favorite outfits, so I'm giving him
Okay.
like an 8, 8 and a half.
Okay.
I love a velvet jacket moment. It's my
Okay.
favorite. And I love the shoes. It's fitted nice because there's some guys who they did not go to a tailor beforehand. They did not go to a
I
tailor.
saw that, but I couldn't
Either
figure
too
out if it was
tight or too loose.
intentional. I couldn't tell if it was
Right.
intentional. I was like, wait,
Right.
is that a new look?
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it. If
I
it's
was
too
giving
tight, it
a
bugs me.
2003 NBA draft class with the loose
Yes.
suits, with like,
Yes.
I think that was
Yes.
Carmelo and the LeBron. I was just like, oh my gosh, some of
It's
these
like
are
if you're
so
gonna bring
big.
it back, let everybody in on what you're doing so we know.
Yeah. So up next, we got Jalen Milroe, Alabama quarterback, went number 92 overall to the Seahawks. What
Woo!
did
Go
you
Seahawks.
rate his? Oh, is that your team?
That's one of, but it's like a generational team. My dad loves the
Okay.
Seahawks. That
Okay,
is
so who
his
is your other
team.
team?
My team is the Bengals.
Okay.
I'm representing right now.
Okay.
Love the Bengals.
Okay, so we got a Bengals fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. What do we think about Jalen Milroe's Chrome Hearts suit?
I think the Chrome Hearts need to be done. I think that's so a couple years ago. So a couple
Want
years
to
ago,
stop. I want
it
it
needs
to
to
end.
be over. It needs to be over. I just can't, especially on the pants. I can't do the pants. If you're just gonna keep it on the jacket, just keep it on the jacket. But going down to like the knees, it just looks weird because then it looks like one knee is higher than the other, and that makes me
Yeah.
uncomfortable. I don't like
So for him,
that.
I think his says J baby. His chain says J
Yes.
baby. And again, it's
Yes.
clashing with the lapels. With the
Yes.
J and M, the J and M is in gold, the chain is in silver. I'm gonna give it, I hate to say it, but I'm gonna give it like a 5.
I was gonna say a 5 too because I think
Okay.
the chain throws it off. It
Okay.
matches the design on the
It matches the
suit,
suit.
but if you're gonna do
It
the
doesn't
lapel
match the
thing, come
JM.
on.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Our fave, Abdul Carter.
Well, now that I know, I don't hate it as much because I think that's very sweet to honor that. But
Oh, okay.
the shoes.
What does he have on? What shoes are those? I can't tell what shoes those are,
I don't
but
know, but I hate them. I hate them. And I'm using the word hate because I hate it. Like, it looks bad with the pants. The pants are all scrunched up. It almost looks like sweatpants.
Well, it's all black, but it's different textures.
Yes,
It's
that
different
too.
textures. So I'm gonna go, well, I guess as far as the chain, I thought he looked clean as hell, but that chain, I thought the chain looked so big that it looked fake. You know, I feel like there's a certain level, like if your chain is exceeding a certain, like if it's just too big, it looks fake no matter what. And so I just was like, oh, the chain is so big, it looks fake. So I'm gonna give his chain, I'm gonna give the chain a six just because I can't read what it says.
It has something, it's like incred, it has to do with his name and incredible. Like it's a play on words, but I don't know how to like say it how he did.
Okay. Maybe I needed to
It
do more research on that. But I was like, oh,
was
I was like, I
like
can't read
incredible,
this. Like
like the
Abdul?
ed yeah like the end of his name. I don't know, I thought it was a little cheesy. I got the point, but I was like, okay. And I agree, I think when it's too big, it's a lot, it's a little too much. But I
Okay.
think if you're trying to read the words, then probably it's too
Yeah, I should be
big.
able to see the words of the chain. Clearly, either people need to change the font or change the font size, but I'm like, this should be legible. I like the chains that don't spell out anything. My favorite ones were like the symbols. It's like, oh, if your nickname was like, Black Panther, like just a chain of a panther. Boom. We don't have to read it. I don't have to get close. It's like, oh yeah, they call him the Panther. Or if they call you Snake Man, you have a chain of a snake, which is why I like Matthew Golden's chain. Wide receiver coming from Texas, the real UT. He went 23 overall to the Packers. Now, I liked his chain. I
I think
haven't
if it
seen
was
one like
gold,
it.
I think if
Like,
it was gold,
to be gold!
it needed to be gold.
The mixing of the silver and gold is throwing me off for this entire draft. Everybody did it. It's
And
like they
it's on.
wanted to wear the chain so bad, even though it didn't go with their suit.
I think most men don't understand color coordination
Yeah.
sometimes.
What are you rating Matthews?
I'm not against the suit, but I'm not totally for it. And then the chain's throwing me off, so I'm gonna give like a six.
It's very busy. I'm gonna give this one the well, if I'm just rating the chain, the overall coordination, I'm gonna give it a six. Yeah. I think I'm gonna give it a six. I was gonna say five, but I'm like, if the colors just matched, it would have done great numbers. So then we got up next, we got two more. Okay, so we got tell me if I'm saying his name correctly or not. Jihad Campbell.
I believe so.
Another Alabama. We got another Bama boy. Linebacker. He went 31 overall to the Eagles. This was actually my favorite chain.
Because it was so simple.
It was simple and it matched what he was wearing. It was very like demure, but it looks like it has some color in it. It's unique. I like that it had different like shapes and colors in it. I was like, oh, that's cute. And it wasn't so big that it looked fake. So that was my favorite one. I'm gonna give that one a 8.5.
I think I'm gonna give him a nine. I love this simple suit. So beautiful. It looks perfectly tailored to him. And
It
I really
does.
love the jewels in the chain. I think that's
Yeah.
beautiful. Only thing that's bugging me, and maybe I'm the only one that will notice something like this, but he's not wearing socks, or at least it doesn't look like he's wearing socks, and that's driving me insane. I think
Oh,
with that kind of
positions.
shoe, come on. Ugh.
You
And at
wouldn't
least
wear
have like,
socks? I would have thought that you don't wear socks with those shoes.
I don't know if you do or don't, but I think like the pants need to be a little longer to cover that.
Oh, and some of the other pants. I don't even think I have anybody in here, but it was somebody with pink on, and them pants was almost at his knees. I was like, oh, they're short. Okay. So we got our second to last one, Shamar Stewart. Defensive end out of Texas A&M, went 17 overall to the Bengals. His chain. I liked his chain, but they're mixing the gold and silver again. And he even has on a gold watch.
I thought it was like a little too big. If it was a teeny bit smaller, I think it would have been perfect. Love the green though. I think it's very beautiful. I love the style of his coat. And I like the length of his pants. They're covering more of the foot with those shoes. I appreciate that.
I did not like this outfit at all.
Really?
I think his chain would have been okay. It might actually be not silver, but I feel like the chain would have went perfect, size and all, if it was just an all black outfit. I don't know why
Okay.
everybody's against all black, classic black.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
can't mess up black, I don't think.
Right.
It would be hard to. So I'm gonna give his chain like, I'm gonna give the chain a 8 because I think it's a clean
Okay.
chain. It just didn't work well with the outfit. The outfit is already so
Yeah,
busy, and
yeah.
the outfit is like the material is silky, so it takes away from like the shine of the chain. So I'm gonna go with 7.
Okay, I think
Yeah.
I'll do a 7 too. I
Okay.
feel he's giving 7 vibes.
Okay. And then the final chain, we have Christopher Carter, Mr. Abdul Carter's dad, with the infamous Adidas chain that he did say Adidas made for him. I'm assuming that Abdul is signed to Adidas. I think that's a pretty safe assumption. Again, that chain is so big, it looks fake. Like, it is huge,
It's really
but
long. Like
it's long.
yes.
It's long, but it does match.
Yes, it
I'm gonna
does.
give him an 8. I'm gonna
I
give him an
think,
8.
okay. I know this is gonna be crazy, but I think if he had a different color tie, I don't like that color. Because if you're doing all black, why wouldn't you also
Yeah.
do black with your tie? Or at least match it a little closer to the chain.
Yeah. So what you
But
reckon, Christopher?
he kind of killed it, so I think I'll give him 7.5.
Yeah, that might have been the star of the show. I know that when I got on Twitter, I was like, oh, his chain was going triple platinum on Twitter. All right, so back to the other NFL draft takeaways. Obviously, the most talked about thing is Shedeur Sanders. What are your thoughts on the
Yes,
Shedeur Sanders
I have
topic?
so many thoughts. First and foremost, I think he's just a big nepo baby. I think that's ultimately what it all comes down to. And honestly, how he is acting or how people have said he acts, I don't think is entirely his fault. I think Deion Sanders, being his father, has put so much in his head. Like, well, I'm your
Yeah.
father. I can do this for you. You don't have to work as hard because I'm your father and I'll get this done for you and, all of that. So I think
Yeah.
also he was Shadur's and Shiloh's agent, wasn't he?
I didn't know if they were joking or not, but I can't
Yeah.
imagine Dion being able to. My immediate thought was, how would Dion be able to juggle being a coach and being an agent? Because I know Shiloh
Right.
mentioned it, but I thought that he was
Yeah.
like being sarcastic and joking. And I would think that that's a conflict of interest
Right.
to be
Because
a coach and, yeah.
I saw a clip on TikTok of him on a talk show, Deion Sanders, talking about how he didn't want his sons to be interviewed by certain teams because he's like, I know what happens behind the scenes. So I think that's why people are saying he's their agent and that's a way to confirm it. But I also think that was a terrible, terrible thing to do to those guys.
I thought so too. I thought that so I first of all, I think that the Shedeur Sanders is the whole draft issue is a multifaceted issue. I think that there were a lot of unique things that happened here. You have, Deion Sanders being his dad, but then you also have the fact that he's kind of the face of NIL. I was arguing with some people on TikTok about it, and they were like, no, Olivia Dunn from LSU Gymnastics, she's the face of NIL. She's one of the most profitable NIL athletes, but when you're talking about like, oh, who's the face of NIL? Not many people are saying Olivia Dunn. They're probably saying a male football player because, just more so Shador's like the face of, of NIL and somebody that's been able to benefit significantly from it. So I think that the NFL was making a firm statement saying, y'all made all that money when y'all were in college. That's awesome, but y'all aren't gonna come in here. This is still our shit. We still run this show. So even though y'all are making millions in college, just know y'all have no say so, y'all have no pool. y'all's opinions are strictly y'all's opinions. I think that they were doing that. I think that it was also a mixture of marketing. If Shedeur Sanders, the one, I mean, the links that companies go to for exposure and marketing efforts, I think people will be really appalled at how far companies will go. And I think the NFL is no different. I think it's like, okay, if we draft him super late, we're going to get the best ratings that we've ever had for a draft because everyone's going to watch up until the time that Shedeur is off the board, which, he went fifth round. And so now you made everyone watch every day of the draft, which we all know every day of the draft, there are significantly less and less viewer participation. So when he didn't go first round, everybody's like, what? And everybody tuned in the second day. And then he didn't get drafted the second day. Everyone tunes in the third day. One thing that I did want to point out that I did not like, because there were arguments back and forth saying like, oh, racism, the NFL is racist, et cetera, et cetera. Like I said, I think this is a multifaceted issue, and there were a lot of factors at play simultaneously with marketing and, NIL making a statement, and Shedeur just happened to be in that position at that time. I do think that race did play a part, maybe not necessarily for the draft, but the media coverage. I think that the way that commentators were speaking of Shedeur, when I went back and looked at other videos of how they spoke about similar style players, one that comes immediately to mind is Baker Mayfield. They weren't using words like arrogant, cocky, when if you think about it, arrogant, cocky, confident, certain, all those words mean the same thing. Just three of those have a positive connotation, and one of those words have a negative connotation, but they ultimately mean the same shit. And so when I dissected the media, I'm like, Baker and Shedeur are comparable, not in play, but in sense of how they operated in the media, the on and off the field antics, the cockiness or arrogance or confidence. But Shedeur was on the only word used to describe him was arrogant and cocky. Baker was maybe every now and then they called him arrogant, but for the most part, he was described as confident. And they are doing the same
Interesting.
things on and off the field. So I think that race came to play in a very, and I would consider that like in a very microaggression type of way. It wasn't like a direct, oh, Shador's black, so we're doing this. It was just like a slight change in the words being used. Just the general sentiment was just like overly negative, and I didn't like the timing. I think the timing when all the statements, oh, he interviewed bad, he did this and this, and they were coming from anonymous sources.
Yeah,
I'm like, put a name on that shit. Who said it?
I have this whole thing on my notes about how like this is basically a huge conspiracy right now. Like people are saying it's race. People are the anonymous people coming out about the interviews, and I even like heard someone on TikTok talking about it and how they literally, whoever this person was, said it was the worst interview they've ever encountered with a potential draft pick. They said that he like came off as, you're lucky to be talking to me. You're lucky to
Okay,
have
I
me
saw
on
that
your
same
team.
report.
Right. So I think it's everything you're saying is mind blowing to me right now because I've seen more just negative things. How you're describing everything is like reasonable. Like I've had my fair share of arguments already about how it could be with race. And I agree with you. I think draft wise, it has nothing to do with race. Media wise, 1000%. I agree with what you're saying on that. I don't know. I think him not going to the combine was a big mistake. Him not doing that because that
But
made it
I do
so.
want to point out that a lot of players opt out of the combine.
Really?
That's a misconception there. A lot of players decide to opt out of the combine for whatever reason. If they are on the edge of recovering from an injury that maybe happened in off-season training, it's like, well, this is just for example. Say if I had an ankle injury and it takes like 2 months to rehab, and I'm at two and I'm at, a month and a half, and it's like, well, I got 2 weeks left until I'm officially off of, I'm cleared. Do I want to risk re-injuring that injury and making it worse by participating in physical activity too soon. So that's not an uncommon, it's not as uncommon as people make it seem.
Did
I
not
was
know
looking at a
that.
list of players that did not participate in the combine that still went number one in the draft, went
Really?
first round of the draft. Yeah, but like I said, like the media coverage, if you don't actually go in and like everything that you see in media and go and do your own like research, be like, how often does this happen? Because I had the same reaction as you. I was like, that didn't help him out at all.
Right.
But I'm like, once I, did research, I'm like, wait, a bunch of players did not in this draft did not participate in the combine. And in previous drafts, like that is not a new thing. But I still think that like it didn't help Shador because Shador knew that he was going to be a target because of his off the field antics. And when I say antics, it was not like any crimes or anything. Like some of these players that were drafted, their off the field antics are DUI, reckless driving, child endangerment, domestic violence. So those are not these off the field antics. I'm more so referring to like him, tweeting and posting on Instagram at halftime in the middle of a game that he's playing in. It's like that's uncouth. Like that I would describe like that's arrogant because that same game that he did that they lost.
And I know a lot of people are unhappy with his attitude because, from my understanding, he would blame his teammates for losing.
Yeah, I saw some clips. Is he the best media trained person? I mean, it's not even
No.
close. It's not even close. I wish I was, but I'm not versed enough on the game that he was, because I saw the clip, but I was like, what actually happened in the game? But as a quarterback, you're seen as the leader of the team, so it's like you don't throw your team under the bus. You just kind of take it at the chin because analysts are gonna see it and be like, that wasn't his fault, but he took one for the team, but
Everybody
that
else is
wasn't his
gonna see
fault.
it as probably his fault.
So I mean, I saw that, but I still the way that the media tried to make it seem like he had just like murdered someone and was entering the draft, I'm like, okay, we have full-blown like people pending trial in the draft for like
And that's
domestic violence, and they
the
never got
thing.
this type of media coverage.
And that's the thing. I think that the draft is a little wishy-washy because they do pick and choose, like,
Yes,
who's okay to
100%.
keep in regards to crimes and who, like, no, we can't do that. So, like, what is the criteria for who stays and who goes? What is the criteria of what crime is worse than the other? I don't know. I think it's really weird.
So I just didn't like the media coverage, and I always tell people, I'm like, when you hear stuff, always go search up something else, find a different source. But from the media, it seemed, it's, I mean, Shador being drafted that late, I think I literally seen 50-50 media coverage. Like people are like, that was absolutely absurd. And then people are like, nope, that's where he should have went. I've seen like 50-50. So I'm like, we shall see. But that Browns quarterback room is stacked.
Five of
It's
them.
like,
There's five of them. Oh my gosh. And then
so
isn't Deshaun Watson, he's like hurt
hurt.
or something. So then it would be Joe Flacco, right?
I think it's second in line.
Okay. And then I watched a video on this girl. She was like explaining the list basically. And most people are saying that Kenny Pickett is probably going to get traded because there's not enough room. And they want to grow with Shadur, but I don't know if you saw anything of the GMs. The room after they called Shadir, they were not
Oh,
happy.
they look so bland. I
They were
really
not.
hated that. I hated that like his experience was just kind of like ruined. I feel like it was ruined. I mean, I think he handled that well. The prank phone call. There were four players that were prank phone called. I don't know how these people are getting these numbers, but well, we know how one person, we know
That's
how
a
the
that's in my notes.
Falcons,
That's in my notes.
but this is not like unique to this draft. It's happened before. It will happen again as long as these GMs have grown adult children and they're leaving their laptops and iPads open, et cetera. But I hate that his a day that's supposed to be memorable was kind of tainted because of media coverage, people like making fun of him, or all the memes and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, we look at them as entertainment, but it's like Wait, this is their actual job. Like, if someone made memes of us not getting the job that we interviewed for, our feelings would be hurt. Or if someone called us and was like, hey, you're gonna get this job, and you are like, oh yeah, I got this job, and then you realize, like, wait, that wasn't the actual person that interviewed me for the job. I didn't actually get the job that I thought I was gonna get. We would feel some type of way. So I was like, we have to put this in perspective. This is their job. It's entertainment for us to look ha ha he funny. But I was like, this shit is not funny. It's not
I will
funny.
be honest. I can honestly say that I, even on my TikTok, I said that Shadur is X, Y, and Z. I don't think that he was worth, first round or whatever. But then after all of these things coming out, the prank call, oh my gosh, that broke my heart into a million pieces because that is so unbelievably cruel and evil. I
Yeah, I
get
thought so
it. A
too.
lot of people don't like him. I'm not the biggest fan of him just because I don't like his fan base. They're always like, he's the greatest thing that's ever happened to college football. I'm like, no, like, I get what you're saying, but
You're
I
saying, but
don't like
no.
they like yeah, sure, Deion Sanders came in and changed the Buffaloes as a whole, but they didn't win anything. They're not champions of anything. You know what I
They're not
mean?
champions.
So
They
it's
did turn a
frustrating.
program around. They did turn a program around, which I always tell people. I was like, I don't think people understand how difficult it is to turn a program around and go from the Bad News Bears to winning only one game in the season to the very next year you've won half your games. Like, that is at that level. At that level, that's, changing a program around takes like decades to turn it around to be a real contender. So I think if Colorado stays with that same trajectory, they'll be fine. But if the expectation was to, for Shador and Shiloh and Dion to come in and they go to the CFP playoffs the first year there, I'm like, that's unrealistic. You got to think who they're going up against. You got Bama, you got Georgia, you got Clemson, you got all these powerhouses that have been powerhouses the past 10 years. You think they're finna just let Colorado come in one season, go from 1-12 to
I think it was
what,
nine and
taking it
eight.
all?
I think it was just there's a lot of unrealistic expectations with it. I think it's a great thing that happened. That's awesome. It's always fun to see your teams do good. But I think everyone needs to simmer down a little bit. You know what I mean? He's only
It's
in the
too
media because
much.
of his father. Honestly, there are other teams who have, flipped things around and they went 9-8 or farther than that. But nobody's really like saying anything. No one's mentioning players. They're only
Because
focusing on the
the players aren't
Sanders.
interesting. The players aren't interesting. The nepotism isn't like,
The
but
nepotism is the nepotism is interesting.
best believe when Archie Dan Manning comes out of Texas,
Oh
just
my
know
gosh.
that it's going to be Shador Sanders times 1,000. Are you kidding me? It's going to
100%.
be, the media coverage is going to be crazy, and I want everybody to pay specific attention to how the media talks about Archie Manning. Are they using arrogant and cocky, or are they using he's confident, he's a leader? And I gave a good example on my TikTok. I said, think about the difference between when a woman does something and a man does something. Hillary Clinton, for example, whether you were going to vote, whether you voted for Hillary Clinton or Trump, whatever, the media coverage was absolutely insane. Hillary Clinton was all types of bitches. Like, they literally, we have never ever heard them refer to a presidential candidate for the United States of America as a bitch. They were saying the word bitch on national TV, and I was like, did they just say bitch? Did I just hear bitch on my TV? And it was for all the same characters that they described every man before Hillary Clinton running for president of the United States as confident, he's a leader, he's so sure of himself, like he's firm. Hillary Clinton did the same shit, and she was a bitch. I was like, it's crazy. And so that's what I thought about the media coverage of Shador. So everybody, pay attention to how they, the word usage, and how the media covers the Mannings. So now let's move on to the NIL segment of college sports. NIL, for those of you that don't know, is name, image, and likeness. Basically, it is now, athletes can be paid for their jersey sales. They are allowed to get paid in collegiate athletics now. And this year we saw that shit crash because of lack of regulation. We have players. First of all, we have more than 2,800 football players in the transfer portal. 2,800. We have more than 2,800 football players in the transfer portal, and we have more than 25% of women's basketball players in the transfer portal. So these
Wow.
portals are, I mean, everyone's everywhere. How has it affected college sports? Has it ruined college athletics? And I think it has tainted the product. Because you don't have players staying and developing at one program. They're doing 1 year at a school and then going to the next school because the school offered them money. The heart is not the same. And I know everybody's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's their job. But as a fan, it's like, it's so hard to keep up with. It's like,
Right.
okay, well, the football rosters have about 115 to 150 players on the football rosters. It's like, I'm looking at the screen like, who the hell is that on my team? Because everybody transferred out. I'm like, we
Right.
don't know who anybody is in football. You already
Yeah.
can't. They already got helmets on. So you're like,
Right.
that's not the number 15 from last year, and he didn't
Right.
graduate. Like, what happened? It's
Yeah.
just super hard to keep up with. What are your thoughts on NIL? You said you don't watch college sports, so.
Right. And I had to like look all this up. And so from what you're saying, it makes me feel that the only pro that there is, like in a pros and cons list, is that they are able to hold on to their identity. It's theirs. No one can have it. Their money. They can take care of themselves. But the con to that is it makes people cocky. Their ego is huge because they're making millions. I'm sorry. At 18 years old, if I was making millions of dollars, I would do the stupidest shit with it. I would not be reasonable with it. And I think perhaps that could be happening. I don't know.
Yes,
But,
yes. Because
and I,
you have some of the players making more money than the coaches. The people coaching
right.
them are
That
making
put
less
in
than the
that,
psych.
that goes to their head. That goes to their head. They probably feel like they don't have to listen to these coaches. They don't have to look up to them. They don't have to respect them because I make more money than you do.
Yeah. It is definitely getting into their heads. I think that another pro is that while these players are transferring programs and they're really not sitting still, there's not time to develop. That's a con of it. But I
Yes,
think the
yes.
pro is that they're staying in college longer. This is more specific to, well, it isn't specific to all of them, but they're staying in college longer. So while they're not developing within the same program, overall, the level of play is better, because when you talk about going to the NFL from NCAA, you're going from college to the NFL your junior year, it's like stay an extra year. Now that they're getting paid, there's not a rush to make money because they're already making money in college. So it's
Right.
like, let's get you even with an additional year of development before we send you to the NFL with the big leagues to make you
Right.
even. We want the product more and more competitive. And the earlier these players go to the league, I would assume the less development they have. So I think it
No,
makes
I
the
agree.
NFL product better, but the college product, it's just hard to keep up with his fans. There's so many players in the transfer portal. Essentially, every team is getting a completely new roster every year. Every year. So it's like, do you, because, and that's the difference between pros and college, I feel like. I feel like in college, you follow a program. In the pros, you might follow a player. I guess people follow the programs in the NFL too, but. More so in NCAA, it's like, oh, I'm a Bama fan, so whoever plays for Bama, I'm gonna root for them. Or I'm a Sooners fan, whoever plays for them, I'll root for them. But now it's like, who the hell is on the field right now? I already can't see their face. I already cannot see their face. So what's
I
happening?
have a question. Do you think that these college athletes, with all of this money and all of this fame from their name being put out there, that they have the same mindset as a professional NFL athlete?
Probably because they all kind of slow, in my opinion. I think that there's just like, I mean, we talk about it all the time, like in sports, how there's a massive difference between the competency level of a football player versus their basketball counterpart. The basketball players are normally more aware, they're better with their money, they're more realistic and more tame, you know, less off the court antics in basketball than there are in football. But I think that these schools, it's on the schools to, you know, all these schools have professional development or student athlete development departments. All of them do at this point in time. It's 2025. I worked for two universities' student athlete development programs. And so I think that the schools need to enhance those student athlete development programs and put a financial literacy class, put a tax class, a tax,
Ooh.
yeah, class or learning in there,
Yeah.
because these players are making this money and they don't know how to manage it. They're going
Right.
from a lot of times living below the poverty level to now they have, you know, signed a $4 million contract and they're like, oh yeah, I have $4 million. I can go buy a $3 million house. Well, newsflash, a $3 million house is probably gonna take anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000 to maintain, like the maintenance on the house, the yard, the appliances, and everything. But it's like if you signed a $4 million contract, you're in a different tax bracket. You only get to keep like 2.5 of 4 million. So now you've bought a house that you literally cannot afford. And your entire check would have to go to the house. So I think that these departments need to do better on teaching these student athletes about taxes, how much comes out there, you know, every check, everything they do, the importance of paying their taxes, or it's like the IRS is gonna get your ass when you leave the league, then you actually won't be able to afford to pay it. And I don't think that well, I guess we haven't seen it yet, but we'll see in the next couple of years how that turns out and what that looks like, because we're still in the midst of all these changes. We're living in the changes right now. So we'll see in like a year or two what happens.
And then I have something a little controversial to
Okay.
say. So I know that way back when in the NFL, there was huge sports betting going on. It was super bad. Like the mob bad. The mob was involved bad. Okay. And then the NFL did what they could to get out as much as they could so that wouldn't keep happening. But from my understanding, most of that sports betting now goes to college football. So I'm curious if you think that like they think they're scripted games, or if these kids with millions of dollars are betting on these games. Are they betting on their teammates? Are they betting on other teams? I think it's kind of
I think that,
crazy.
yeah, you brought up a good point. I think that it would be completely asinine, and it would be asinine to assume that no NCAA players are betting on themselves. Because that's what happens when you're dealing with a childish mind or someone that thinks that they can break the rules. We're dealing with people with undeveloped frontal lobes. They can't even think
I
all the way
don't
for
think that
themselves.
teenagers should be having millions of dollars in their pocket whenever they want. Would I like that? Of course. Personally, as a 20-year-old, yeah, I would like to have millions of dollars whenever I want. But reasonably, that's not good.
So I think that that's another thing that we're going to see come out more is that not necessarily that the games are scripted, but like, oh, this player bet on themselves that they would, you know, rush 112 yards for the game. I think that would be like asinine to think that that's not already happening. Because there's so many ways around it. You just give your friend $100, you have them place the bet on their account in their name. Give me, I'll split the profits with you, and I'm gonna make sure I run this amount. Like, they know if they have injury or not. So, yeah, I think that for sure there's players in college sports that are betting on themselves, they're betting on their teammates. Because by the time the game day comes, they already know what type of routes they're running, they know what plays they're going to be using against which teams, because all week everybody's been studying film to know, oh, this defense works against this team. Oh, well, I know that we're going to be running Wildcat the whole time, and I'm the, you know, whatever in that position, so I know we're going to run this all game. I know. Hell yeah, that's happening. Hell yeah. And it will come out. I mean, we had NBA players in trouble for that.
Oh,
What,
yes.
last year, two
The
years ago,
NBA is
last year?
huge on that.
Yeah. And so it's like if the pros are doing it, like the kids are doing it too, 100%.
Right. Because I don't understand sports betting, if I'm being honest. Because, like, how, like, you bet on such specific things. How do you know those things? How do you
So
know?
you
Like,
can look
they
up,
don't
so
always
that's where like
happen,
data
but.
analytics comes in.
Okay,
Data
okay,
analytics. So
okay.
you can look and see what the person's average rushing yards are. You can see what their average passing yards are.
Okay.
And you say, okay, I'm gonna bet the over that, because normally the, or at least for prize picks, they take the average of what that person normally does. And they say, okay, or you can put money on if they're gonna perform below this, or put money on they're gonna, perform above this. And you just say, oh, but there are stats for different things. So it's like, yeah, you can look at the average passing yards, but what's their average passing yards for a top 10 team? Or what's their average passing yards for a team that they're playing on the road when they're away? So you have to look at all that stuff, but it's very intricate. It's a good way to go into debt, but it's a good way to win money too. I don't sports bet. I do not sports bet because I'm like it could go. I don't like the thought of like losing money. So it could go left very quickly. But different websites bet differently. So you can just say this team's gonna win, this team's gonna win, this team's gonna win, or you can say this team's gonna win by X amount. It depends on which gambling platform you're on. But I'm in Texas, so it's not even legal here. So you would have to use like a VPN most of the time. So, but.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's very intricate. But I guess if we're ready to move on, the big news this week. I mean, it's all this was a hectic week in
Oh
sports.
my gosh, yeah. Can't
The
catch a
big
breather.
one, yeah, Mr. Shannon Sharp.
Oof.
Oh my gosh. So for those of you that are not aware yet, that have been living under a rock, Shannon Sharp has been accused of rape and sexual battery on multiple occasions. By a Jane Doe, whose name has been released, but I will not repeat it on here. It is alleged that the Shannon Sharp's camp offered to pay Jane Doe $10 million to settle and move on and sign an NDA. But it was turned down, and so now she is suing for $50 million. And Jane Doe, the age difference between Jane Doe and Shannon Sharp is more than 30 years. She is more than 30 years, Shannon Sharp's junior. What are your initial thoughts on that?
One, hasn't he always been a little weirdo? Like, I thought he's always known for being weird. Like, there's so many things. Like, wasn't there a live, an Instagram live that
Yes.
happened? Yeah. I
It's yes, he's a freaky frog.
not
He's a
surprised by
freaky
the
frog.
not surprised by the allegations. And
So,
I read that it was, he says it was a consensual relationship, right? But I think people are forgetting that even in consensual relationships, you are allowed to say no. You are allowed to
Yes.
say, no, I don't want this. I don't want to do
Yes.
that. That is still bad. That still
Yeah.
could be considered rape.
And then also, I want to add a little insert right here before we move on, or before we go in depth. This is another class that I think needs to be mandatory for college athletes, for high school athletes, and when players go to the pros, a sexual assault course. Why not? We have to do it in corporate America before you go to, when you're working at your firm, where you're there for, 5 months or, 5 years. Once a year, you got to go through sexual harassment training to know what's okay, what's not okay. You got to go through, microaggression training, like, bias training. Why is that not mandatory in the professional leagues? It should be mandatory starting from high school, junior high sports. So I will say that because a lot of people, mainly men, do not know that you could be in the middle of a sexual act. And from the moment somebody says stop or no, you have to stop right then and there. Any extra pumps or thrusts is officially
That goes for
sexual
any man
assault.
ever. Any man ever. Not just professional athletes. Any man ever.
Any man ever. So I just wanted to clear that up. That should be mandatory. But my first reaction from the Shannon Sharp lawsuit was I did not even know Shannon Sharp was worth enough money to for him to even be able to be sued for $50 million. Because I'm like, okay, P. Diddy paid Cassie like $24 million. in her settlement. Like, Shannon Sharp has more money than P. Diddy? I didn't know. I was unfamiliar. I had no clue. And according to Google, Shannon Sharp is worth $14 million. But I'm like, $14 million, and you're settling for 10. Obviously, everybody in celebrities in interviews always say the net worth online, and oh, it's so far off. But no one ever tells us how far off it is. Is it off by 100 million? Is it off by 10 million? But I feel like 14 million compared to being able to be sued for 50 million is a big jump in how much your net worth is.
Because don't
Or
you
even
have to have the money in order to, like, because if you lost?
they count assets.
Okay,
Like when
that
they're
makes
doing net
sense.
worth, so they count the worth of your assets. So your cars, anything that's in your name is what they're counting. So that won't include what's physically in your bank account. It's just like, oh, they have a house for this much, but they have six houses, and the total of the houses plus the cars and any like other public information. But obviously, a lot of people have private accounts and have their hands in multiple jars. I mean, Shannon Sharp has different incomes coming from everywhere. So I'm just like, okay, I was sorry, Mr. Sharp. I was unfamiliar with the game. But that is a freaky frog. I just feel like this is not even a gender thing. As a prominent public figure, I feel like there are certain things that you must do to prevent things like this happening. Because we've seen allegations come out that have both been true and that have both been not true, that have been proven untrue and proven true. If you're worth this much money, I want you to act like it. Because I want you to act like it. It's like, okay, well, you're worth this amount of money. Are you aware of that? Because if I'm worth enough money for someone to sue my ass for $50 million, I have lawyers on deck. I have accountants on deck. Like anybody that has over $1 million is gonna have their own accountant or someone detailing their finances. You don't have somebody in your camp that's like, okay, I just, the more money you make, you move differently. That's why Beyonce does certain things. And you won't catch her doing certain things. You know, LeBron moves a certain way because it's like, I'm not gonna put myself in a position for someone to be able to lie on me or for someone to be able to extort me out of money. You have certain things in place. Shannon Sharp, why did you not have those things in place? Because you was too freaky.
You were too freaky, Shannon Sharp. That is what, that's all it is. That's all
Yeah.
it is.
And I'm not saying Jane Doe's lying. I'm not saying Shannon Sharp is lying.
No.
I don't ever give an opinion when it comes to, oh, I think it's true, I think it's not true, when it comes to domestic violence and sexual assault, because at the end of the day, you don't know what people do behind closed doors when they think no one's watching. So I will never comment on whether I think, oh, yeah, no, I can see him doing that, or I can't see him doing that. I just am stating the facts of the case. I'm just like playing devil's advocate. If Shannon Sharp did not do this, why were you in a predicament to even be accused of this? Because it looks bad with every it's affect it's gonna affect your whole life, because he's already probably lost a bunch of brand deals. Brands hear rape allegations, it's a wrap. It's like, oh no,
He's stepping
whether it's
down
true or
from
not.
that ESPN show, right?
Yes. And I heard that he had a contract coming up, like that was about to be negotiated. And it's like, anyone that I know that had a big payday coming about moves a certain way, it's like, okay, let me not do this until this is finalized. Let me not do this, like, too freaky.
That's all it is. He's too
He's
freaky.
too freaky. And a lot of people were focused. How do you feel about this? That the girl's 30 years younger than him. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't like it.
I have varying thoughts. I don't think my thought is in the majority. I think I'm in the minority on the thoughts about that. But what are
I
yours?
think that as a woman, do whatever your little heart desires. As a man, you're weird. Get away. Get off of her. Get off of her, you
Get
weirdo.
off of her.
You could be her dad. Like, that's weird.
I feel like, so this is why I said I don't think that I'm in the majority on this opinion. If we're gonna call an adult anybody 18 or over, okay. If we have all agreed that 18 or over is the age of consent, whatever. And I personally think like that's weird. Like that's too big of an age gap. You're 50 something dealing with a 19, 20-year-old. Like I'm 29. I wouldn't date anybody younger than 25, and that's a push. Like 20, that's a push because it's just like we've got some, frontal lobe issues. We talked about it. It's like I'm not dealing with nobody that can't even sit at a restaurant with me and drink. Not drink. I ain't dealing with nobody that can't drink. So while I may think it's weird, I don't think that him messing with a woman that is of age, I don't think that that portion of the argument should be put in. Can he be weird for it? Yeah, but I don't think we can say like, oh, he did it because she's way younger. It's like, because this is not uncommon. We see women all the time that are married to men that are 20 to 50 years older than them. So I'm like, okay.
Bill Belichick and
And there was
his
just a
basically
slight
12-year-old
uproar.
girlfriend.
There was a slight uproar about that one. They didn't really, they brushed that under the rug.
Ooh, did you see there was a video, an interview, and she was like lurking in the shadows, like telling him what to say. People are claiming, oh my gosh, this is elder abuse. Like she's orchestrating everything.
No, I did not see
Wow.
that.
It's a
I was
lot.
just like, it. I'm just like, okay, well, we let decades of men get away with dating younger women. She's of age. We can think it's weird, but I don't think that that could be used against him in this argument. We already know he's freaky, a freaky man, freaky ass man.
I don't
Freaky,
think that should
freaky.
be part of the case. I think the case is what happened.
Yeah, what happened? It's like, okay, this happened. People were asking, people may, I saw some comments that were saying, like, how is it rape and sexual battery on multiple occasions? And obviously, I couldn't find any more details on what their situation was. But it's possible, but we don't want to victim blame, whatever the case may be. But I'm just like, he just, the end of the day, he act like the money that you earn. You should have been dealing with, I mean, I feel like if you are of that caliber, maybe you do have to go out your way and have women sign forms. Not just women, have people sign forms so nobody can come back and be like, oh, they did this. Because we know that the world today is ran by money. And we know that there are bad people out there that will say things to get money in an attempt to get money from whoever. But like I said, Shannon Sharp, you should have had things in place to protect you from that if this is not true.
The only rumor that I've heard about this case is that Miss Jane Doe's lawyer is known for I forgot the term, but basically like blackmailing. Like that is what this lawyer is apparently known for. Do I
And
believe
it was the
it?
word
I
extortion.
no. I mean that we could use that word. We can use that word, but I'm not entirely sure. Because I actually think in Shannon Sharp's case, like what he says about it, he used the word, but I can't remember what it was. But I don't know if I believe it because I think you should always believe the victim. So I don't know. I don't know if anyone listens to this can confirm or deny. But that's the only rumor. That's the only rumor that I've heard. That's the only rumor that I've heard.
Did you hear the audio
No.
from she? First of all, I got scared when I heard the audio because it sounds like a literal 11-year-old. I was like, "Ooh!" I was listening to it on my car
Ooh.
speaker, and I was like, "Who is this?" And I had to relook at the caption. I was like, "There's no way this is what this girl sounds like." I'm like,
Oh
she
no.
sounded like, it didn't sound like a 19, 20-year-old. It sounded like a middle school, high schooler. Just like the language that was used, the cadence in which she was talking. I'm like, this person sounds hella young. And I looked and I was like, okay, she's of age. But that girl's voice, I would have been like, oh no. But basically, she allegedly recorded a conversation between her and Shannon Sharp. And then Shannon Sharp was like, said something on the phone like, girl, I'll kill you. Like, you keep talking like this. But obviously, it was not obviously. she was reporting, so she was saying certain things. He was like, I'll choke you, something like that. There were
Like,
threats.
was he like, oh, they were threats. It was not in any
There were
sexual
threats.
manner.
It was like, I'll choke you, blah, blah, blah. But then Shannon's camp allegedly released text messages where she was like, I can't wait to have your big old black
Yeah.
babies. And
I
I was
saw
like, I'm
that.
itching. I'm
I
uncomfortable reading
saw
this.
that. Yeah. It's so weird. I mean, we won't know the answer probably for a while, but
For a while,
yeah.
and in the meantime, has he stepped down from ESPN? And then, I mean, he has like his nightcap and stuff with, he has two different shows. He has his,
Yeah.
Shay Shay, Club Shay Shay, and then he has Nightcap with Ocho Cinco. I don't know what's going to happen with those. I don't think that they've been filming.
Yeah,
And
I
I
have a
wouldn't. I, if
feeling.
I was a lawyer, I'm like, do not film. Do not talk
Yeah,
about
I
it.
think the longer this goes on, his career is going down the shitter, the more,
It's going to
more
be
and
hard
more and
to
more.
it's going to be hard to recover, and I it
Yeah.
does look bad, whether it's true or not. It looks horrible
Yeah.
that his camp even offered $10 million for her to walk away. It was like 10 million. Like, that's not a good look that it was like on the
Yeah.
table.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll
We'll
follow up with
see.
that as soon as we get some new information going on. But like I said, this was a crazy week
So
in
crazy.
sports. You
Oh
had
my
to be up at
gosh.
all times of the day to even keep up with everything
Yes.
going on.
Yes, my screen time on my phone is at least like 8 hours because I'm always checking to see what is new, what is going on.
Yeah, it was great having you on the show. I'm so glad that
Yes,
I could
thank
get you
you.
on, Miss Trinity. Y'all make sure y'all follow her on TikTok and on Instagram. Her at name is right below. It's the same on TikTok and Instagram. So y'all give her a follow and y'all let us know your thoughts. We will see you guys soon with the next episode of the Playbook Diaries. I'm Jardin, and this is my girl Trinity, and we are signing out.